Okay, this is a little intimidating, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from Winemere Auto. Go to winemereauto.com. But this individual, when you read his bio, Mark Chandrasik, he is a professor in the Department of Political Science and Public Administration at the University of North Dakota. And, I mean, I'm looking at masters, I'm looking at doctorates, I'm looking at everything here in relation to being a published author. It's pretty amazing, and you can tell I just got a lot of respect for the guy until we get to the very last paragraph of his bio where he says he's a lifelong Red Sox and Patriot fan. But we'll get to that in a bit. Mark, I won't call you doctor because you probably wouldn't like that. But Mark, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning.
Yes. So what I'm curious about, because you teach this, you follow it, what do you see shaking out here in the Republican primaries that goes forward in the North Dakota governor's race?
Well, that's a huge question. I think it's really interesting. You have two, you know, very conservative, candidates running. There's not a lot of policy differences between them. I think they agree on most issues. And so I think you've already seen it turn into more personal sort of campaigning, personal attack sort of thing. I think it's also fascinating how, you know, they're both trying to demonstrate their adherence and closeness to Donald Trump. So it's kind of an interesting race in that the actual issues between them in terms of policy are basically non-existent, and it's really turned out to be a loyalty sort of pledge to Donald Trump and a sort of personal attack campaign already.
How big of a factor is it when you look at that, what you just said, the whole connection to Donald Trump, who loves him the most, that type of thing? How big of a factor, if they're both going to go down that road, is it to have the name ID Armstrong has versus Tammy Miller, who really wasn't known before this race in North Dakota?
Yeah, I think name recognition is huge. If people know who you are, they voted for you before repeatedly. I mean, that's a major, major benefit for Congressman Armstrong in the race. And that's why I think the lieutenant governor has worked very hard to, connect herself to Trump and question, the congressman's adherence to MAGA principles and things like that, because she's trying to appeal to the voter base that comes out in the primary, which is, generally the most ardent, party members and generally more conservative for the Republicans.
I've been saying, Mark, that the one thing that was there that showed was that Tammy Miller clearly knew that Governor Burgum was not going to run for governor again. And she had ads ready. She had a campaign ready. She had the shirts all printed up and that type of thing. And so, she hit the ground running right away. How big of a factor is that, do you think, when it comes to how this race is shaking out?
Well, I mean, it certainly helps. I think, having had prepared the groundwork for that, I'm not sure if the congressman had been planning to run for governor at some point. I assume he was, but I'm not certain. Given the name recognition factors and given other issues, I do wonder if knowing in advance will be much of a benefit. I mean, the thing to keep in mind, Joel, is here we're talking about an election that's going to be decided by about a 30% voter turnout across the state, and basically, they have to appeal to that hardcore. So that's the real question here. Which of them is going to be able to appeal to the hardcore Republican primary voter?
Dr. Mark Chandrasik, from the University of North Dakota, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. There's a background there as well. Mark, how big of a factor would this be? And I've been saying this on the radio, and I'm not sure how many people agree with me, but I'm curious what you think, which is Tammy Miller has the support of Doug Burgum. Doug Burgum's all in. You saw it again yesterday on social media. He took to it explaining why Tammy Miller is the person to vote for governor. Doug Burgum on any given day is out there campaigning for and being next to Donald Trump. The reason I'm building this here is Donald Trump's plane lands at Hector International Airport in Fargo, North Dakota, and they take to the podium, and Donald Trump says, "I want Tammy Miller." How big of a factor would that be leading into the Republican primary?
Well, that's really interesting. I do wonder if that'll happen. That would be. I think it'd be a fairly major thing if that happened, because he'd be throwing his weight behind her. I'm not certain if he would, because Trump can read polls, and I would think if Armstrong was ahead, he probably wouldn't do that. But it would be an interesting thing to do, and it would certainly put his prestige on the line. And I hate to say this, in a rather minor governor's race around the country, it's one thing to weigh in an Ohio Senate race, which has the control of the Senate at stake. But this is a safe Republican seat, so I'm not sure what sort of incentive there would be for Donald Trump to endorse anyone here, given that whoever wins, has already made clear their allegiance to him repeatedly. So I'm not sure if he would risk it. It's a low reward, high risk proposition to endorse someone here if they lose.
But he did that in Ohio, and I realize when you say minor, it's actually true. I mean, the North Dakota governor's race, it isn't as though you're going in there and propping up a candidate that you hope beats the Democrat. Right now, if you look at this race, the Democrats haven't even announced a candidate yet. That's just the reality. Whether or not they can announce someone that'll give it a race is yet to be determined, and we'll see where that goes. But I understand your point. I really do. The only reason I could see the scenario I laid out for you potentially happening is because of the close relationship that Doug Burgum has built with Donald Trump. More of a favor thing than an incentive thing. Mark, that's what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's possible. Donald Trump receives favors. I don't know how many he gives.
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not certain what's in it for him. He's going to win, I mean, no matter who the Republican candidate, Donald Trump will be the Republican candidate for president, barring unforeseen events. He will win North Dakota, barring completely unforeseen events. So I'm not certain what's in it for him. I'm not certain what benefit there would be. Certainly, I'm sure he appreciates Governor Burgum's support, but, Governor Burgum showed in his run for president, he doesn't really swing much in the way of Republican support on a personal level. So I'm just not sure what will be in it for Trump to take that risk, because if he endorses the lieutenant governor and she loses, that's a blow and not necessarily one that I think he would want. I think he'll avoid it. I think he'll say he'll probably say something like they're both fine candidates. They've both shown an adherence to MAGA principles, and I think that's as far as he'll probably go on it. But I'm not, it's possible that, Governor Burgum has more influence on Donald Trump than I think he does. So.
Okay. When you look at the race right now, do you think this race in any way, shape is even? And if you think that the congressman with the name ID, having run statewide office races before, is in the lead, what would you do if you're Tammy Miller to erase that difference?
Well, I think, you really need to realize this is a low turnout election. So you've got to mobilize people who, are likely to support you. And it's hard for me to, I'm not certain, where her constituency lies exactly. Lieutenant governor is a hard job. You get no credit for anything and you get blamed for everything that the governor does. It's kind of like being vice president. So I think she would, the goal is to mobilize your supporters, get them to the polls, because it's going to be a low turnout election, and that I think would be the thing. Find out where your support lies, and get those people out there. So that'd be the strategy. I think the other strategy is simply, blanket the state with advertising, because people have to find out who you are. The lieutenant governor lives in the governor's shadow. So I would say, does she have enough money to, run commercials, get airtime, that sort of thing. That would be my advice. My other advice would be, appear on every single, radio and television appearance you can possibly make, because you do need to build up more the name recognition and get your name out there and face out there.
See, and that's where I think she's struggling with. You can't just go hang out with your fans. I mean, you can't. You've got to take the tough calls, the tough questions. If you're not willing to do that, people aren't going to see you as somebody that's up to the challenge. We have, for example, Mark Congressman Armstrong come on with me all the time. We have completely different political philosophies in so many ways. He takes cold calls. He takes every question I have. You know, oftentimes at the end of it, I don't know if I won or he won. You know, I think that's the key to proving you can be a good governor.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, the question for the voters is, does it really matter? I mean, these are both conservative Republicans. You know, the voter base is probably going to vote on, you know, who do I like more? Who do I know more? And I think that's where Congressman Armstrong has the built-in advantage.
So, you know, knowing things from a national perspective, if you went into Boston or you went into Chicago, and you've mentioned low voter turnout 2-3 times, this race is going to be decided by 70,000 people. I mean, this race isn't going to have many people vote in it. And I'm just throwing a number out there. But if you went into one of those other towns and said, look, I need to know where I can find 70,000 people, could I make an assumption in those towns that they literally can give you the list of who those 70,000 are?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on, you know, party, you know, how well the party's organized. But, yeah, I mean, you could probably go out and find likely voters, voters likely to support you. I mean, there's, you know, there's certainly consultancies that provide that information. Sometimes the parties can provide it too to candidates. So it's doable. I think it's harder in North Dakota because the incentives are lower. We very rarely have highly competitive elections between the parties. And within the parties, you know, I think there's a general desire to within the Republican Party, because that's the only party that matters. You know, there's an incentive to avoid these sorts of things. So I think that information is not as readily available. And so, I think if you're going to search for the voters that agree with you, you're going to have to invest a lot of time, effort, and energy and money to do that here.
Somebody texted in and said the real question is, how much will Miller or Armstrong campaign pay the Trump campaign for his endorsement? The committee 4-H will pay for the trip, and who will pay more? He needs money, and so the high bid wins. You know, I would have laughed at that and said there's no way that that's even – now today, I'm not sure that that isn't the case.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think it's, you know, how much money and how much support are you going to get, again, is a question. Is it worth it for Donald Trump to take time out of his busy schedule to fly to North Dakota to do this sort of thing? But, again, I think it's going to come down to, you know, as you said, 70,000 or so Republican primary voters. And I think it's going to probably come down to, you know, name recognition and party loyalty. And I assume that's again, that gives a harder road to climb, a hill to climb for the lieutenant governor.
Yeah. Mark, we're going to call again. I really appreciate this conversation all the way from the University of North Dakota. Good to have you on with us, and I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Feel free to call anytime.